RehabRadioInternational.com.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now. An adventure unlike anything on your planet. The story of a boy, and a universe. A big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time. It's an epic of heroes and villains and aliens from a thousand worlds. A billion years in the making.
America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day.
Satan.
Welcome to Starburst Radio, here live from Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas, with me, Mike Royce, and Mr. Chris Hayes.
Hello.
So, we're here again.
Yep.
And it's just been all good stuff. There's been no real tragedies, no stabbings, drug shop robberies.
You sound disappointed by that.
Well, I was prepared for it this time, and this time when I'm ready for a load of shit to go wrong, everything's been like paradise. It's been great. We've been here about 5 days, and we've done loads of stuff. And as we've always said, if you are into stuff that Starburst magazine covers, like genre, sci-fi, horror, fantasy movies, all this sort of stuff, there's nowhere more exciting on planet Earth than going to Las Vegas, because you get to indulge in all of that sort of stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah, and if you're driving as well,
oh yeah,
definitely take a trip out to the little alien.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we did yesterday. Big road trip.
Oh yeah.
How many hours was that to get there, do you reckon?
Started out at 8 o'clock. Finally got there at 8 o'clock at night. It's 12 hours get there via various other places. And then we went, it took a while to get back. We were home about 1 o'clock in the morning.
So something silly like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's an odyssey. It really was. But the little alien is just as cool as it ever was. It's weird because it's very understated. It's opened by a guy and his wife called Pat, Joe and Pat. And he died a few years ago, sadly, but she's carried it on. And it survived COVID and all the lockdowns. And it's still going strong. It was featured in the movie Paul, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. They've still got the sign picture up in there. He was saying to me yesterday, though, that I asked him how busy it gets, and he says, on average, tourist-wise, you get between 100 and 500 people a day.
A day?
A day.
Yeah. And it's really out of the way and all.
Yeah, massively so.
Yeah.
But you can also stay there. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's little cabins out there.
Five cabins, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to do that one time.
I've seen it. It's really trucky. Truck drivers and local... See, people who aren't that far away seem to be there. I mean, I was in a queue behind one of them, paid for his room once, and he looked at me in my suit and the cab. cowboy hat and all that, and he just looked at me like, who the fuck is this guy? What's going on here? He just looked at me with disdain. So I figured, okay, fine.
A little bit of that yesterday as well when we rocked up.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't there some locals sat outside?
Oh, yeah.
I feel underdressed. Look at him in a three-piece.
Oh, God. No, it's not actually... It is actually a three-piece suit. However, I left the waistcoat at the apartment, so listeners, it's technically a two-piece.
It is radio, though, so we probably best explain to some listeners that you have a particular, I wouldn't call it a uniform, but an identity in the way that you dress.
I guess so.
You know.
That's what I've heard people say,
And no matter where you are, I've never seen you not in a suit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I hear a lot of as well.
Yeah. Well, you've been doing that since you were young, right?
Five, six. Pictures of me at school.
That's cool.
Photos, I've got a three-piece suit on.
Awesome.
And I just thought I liked it early on. I got dressed up once for a photo and thought, oh, okay, I like this. This is all right.
Feeling good.
And the granddad always said to me, dress so you can go anywhere. When you go out, just be dressed so you can go anywhere. And it's just stuck.
He probably wasn't thinking the desert, though.
No, he wasn't, actually, no. No, he was not thinking the desert, no. He definitely wasn't.
So the little alien is right in the middle of... is it Area 51?
Area 51, it's right in the middle. Rachel is the town. Population of 21. And that's 20 adults and one child who has to go 60 miles to school and 60 miles back.
Unless it's homeschooled.
Yeah. Well, I heard that this person was actually getting a bus there.
Oh, good God.
Which,
that's a rough ride. School's bad enough as it
is. Borderline...
abuse.
Abuse, yeah. I mean, that poor kid, he's growing up like that. And that's... It's just bloody awful, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah,
good,
it's fine. Thank you.
Cheers.
She's not noticed, that's good. Well, we order from this side, you can't see the microphone, so it's all right. It's the usual shenanigans here, we're trying to do a show.
Secret microphone.
Yeah, that's kind of got... Well, it's... I mean, nothing says I'm a microphone more than this thing, but it's hidden between a menu. So we're hoping that she can't see.
Yeah, it's not conspicuous at all.
Yeah, we're lucky.
The way that you've bunched those menus up.
Yeah, we're lucky. But she's short. We haven't noticed.
Yeah, but
so
we're sat down.
She's looking. Well, she's not much taller than us, stood up, so it's all right. We'd have had a tall girl, we'd have a problem, wouldn't we? You know, she'd be able to see it.
It was the same waitress as last year, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
She's my kind of waitress.
Yeah.
Just brings you drinks and very smiley and happy. Very nice conversation-wise. And doesn't particularly notice when you're doing anything you're not supposed to be doing.
Or she doesn't care.
And she doesn't care because she's not on enough.
No, one of the two.
So she'll get a nice tip off us, so it'll be all right. We'll look after her. We'll keep her sweet for next time.
So we made another pilgrimage, didn't we, while we were up in Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
We travelled up to the Black Gate itself.
We did. And it's been updated.
They've added another gate.
There is a gate on a gate, a hat on a hat. There's a gate on a gate. There was an original gate, and it was just like a train crossing, wasn't it? Like a little two barriers that were down, and they said stop. I did nip underneath and did a cheeky wave for a photo and then came back.
Last time.
Yeah. Think this time I'd get shot if you did that.
Yeah.
But this time it's a sealed gate in front of that gate with a load of ribbon razor wire as well around the outside. So it's like the kind of... I think the sense of humour's run a bit out on all this crap.
They beefed it up.
Yeah.
And also, did you see those spy crows?
Yeah.
There was a big crow's nest.
On top of the bunch of cameras, there was a big black crow.
It looked very suspicious, though, didn't it?
Well, it looked like it had been trained to be there.
Yeah, and did you see the complexity of the crow's nest?
Yeah.
It was ambitious, wasn't it?
I know, yeah. It was in that light, wasn't it?
I think it's a crow drone.
Yeah.
A drone crow.
It could well be.
Yeah.
The drone crows are with us.
Yeah.
Because they've got a massive Ghostbustery sign that says that has a drone with the no drone thing over the top of it. And so they don't like drones, but I think they might have their own. Well, we saw about three drones take off for Afghanistan.
Military drones. There's a lot of that activity going out there, isn't it?
Yeah. But this. It's kind of sinister, as usual. But we were all right for a while, weren't we? And we were taking some photos, and then,
which we weren't allowed to do.
Yeah, and it says no.
That.
Oh no, kind of like this. Yeah, what we're doing now. But I suspect we'd get less shit here than you would get there if they turned up. But yeah, they. I hadn't noticed, but there was a horn, wasn't there? And it was attached to the front gate. And then after about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we're taking some pictures. And we're out, Mo and Dammer with us. And Mo is the writer of Weird Wide World in Starburst magazine. And he picked up a rock. Just a little rock, didn't it? And then the horn went off.
Yeah.
And it went... And I think that was time to go. Fuck off, we've had enough. We're
Hell
sick
yeah.
of your shenanigans, you fucking tourists.
Hell yeah, I shit myself.
Yeah, I didn't know it was there. I hadn't even fucking seen it. So I had no idea. But what's suspicious is, like, we've been before, we've had our photos and done that and wandered off. And there's been a water service truck nearby, a van nearby that was a bit weird, but we haven't had anything really interact. We've not interacted with it. We've sort of come and gone. And someone clearly saw us and set that fucking horn up.
Yeah. Someone deep in Area 51.
Yeah. I mean, it is there. It's a horn. We took some pictures.
It's a very ominous horn.
Yeah, ominous horn. Yeah. Ominous horns limited to get it from. You couldn't get a horn like that. It couldn't be more scary or terrifying, that horn.
You compared it quite accurately to the horns of Jericho.
Yes.
From the end of Red State.
Yes.
Yeah. It's what it reminded me of. Yeah.
It's what it reminded me of. I shit it. I was actually already getting in the car because I was done. And then that went off, and then I saw everybody looking around wondering what the hell's
going on.
Then I realised it was that fucking horn, and then I thought, shit, that's actually them telling us to fuck off. So we didn't hang around to wait and see what happened if you ignore the horn. I suspect if you ignore that horn, it goes to another level of interaction.
I've heard it's harder to ignore a bullet.
Yeah. But we didn't go in. We didn't do anything. We took some photos we weren't supposed to take.
I know, but that in itself.
Last time I went in, though, that's breaking
the law, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Law.
So it's. Yeah, but I mean, they know, come on. They know people are going to go to
the gate. They would have been within their rights to intercept us and take all our phones off.
Yes, that's correct, yeah. That's right, yeah. But we fucked off anyway. We got away with it.
Sadly, we didn't see any UFO activity.
No, not at all. But we did. We saw a nice sky, took some photos. But the aperture opened a bit longer, so managed to see a bit of nebula and all that in the photos. It's good, yeah. And we saw Ghost Town and all earlier on in the day, Rhyolite. So what you said, it should be the story of that should be an HBO miniseries. It's great because this guy. He bought a mineral rights and bought a mine and then got a load of people to move there. They started this town that had about 30,000 people at its peak, and then it turned out that it was all a con. There was only a tiny bit of gold there, he knew it. And then he sold all the rights to mine there and sold all the plots of land, and then he fucked off, and then everybody realised that the gold had run out. And that was it. And the town was dead and it was emptied within about 4 or 5 years. Everyone just moved all the properties and all the stuff and went somewhere else.
So it's been about 100 years. It's 100 years old, isn't it? Just a little over. And this place looks like a dystopian landscape in a post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah, the train
station. All the buildings are either half obliterated or non-existent now.
The train station is still intact, then that looks like a train station.
Ish.
So you can, well, yeah. Oh, no, I knew it was a train station when I saw that. I mean, it just looks like one. It looks like a platform. You can imagine the train pulling up. Plus, what gave me an extra clue was there's a run-down train carriage outside it that was giving me a bit of a hint that maybe that was what was going on there.
No, I know. But, like, the train, they never finished building it, though, did they?
Oh, yeah, it was running.
Where did it go?
I don't know, but they scrapped it once in September.
Yeah, because there's not
no reason to go there.
There's not many tracks there, though, is there?
No, I don't know where it went. I know that it did work because they had to ship whatever they mined out of the place.
Maybe our imaginary HBO TV show will fill that blank in.
I'd love to
there
do it.
Go.
But
yeah.
What I said, not happy with that guy, he got away with it. So in our version, I'd like him to get his comeuppance.
Justice.
Just at the end. He's about to leave and then all the townsfolk fucking do something to him.
Yeah,
know?
Get him up on that noose.
Yeah,
which
bury him forever in that mine. Maybe he's there now.
Yeah.
Maybe he's there now.
Well, I did say, you know, that, like, do you reckon there is any Hills of Ice type of people living in these vast mountains?
Well, we tried to get in that gold mine, and it's got a padlock on it, and I wanted to break the padlock and go in, but my friend Colette was having none of it and dragged me back down the mountain.
Probably wise.
But there's another one higher up that
there
I didn't
is.
Get
I see
to.
It, saw it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Bet that's not locked.
Human shaped.
I bet that's not locked. But I would have loved to have gone in that, a real gold mine, like out of a video game.
No, I'd wait
Holy
in the car.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah, I'm not up for that.
Well, there's snakes, I know that.
Snakes, tarantulas, and mountain men.
Yeah.
Cannibalistic mountain men.
Well, I was hoping to see some, you know.
What? Cannibalistic mountain men?
Yeah. Well, we took a boat out, and I was hoping to find Cannibal Island. I'm always on the lookout for an island of cannibals.
No.
With bones through the noses.
Yeah.
That's essential to me. A good cannibal. The cannibals these days, they don't have any of that. Even Yellow Jackets, they've not got bones through the noses yet, have they? You know what I mean?
Not yet.
They're not making an effort, are they?
No.
Cannibals ain't what they used to be.
I told you the other day that they just announced that there's a secret episode of Yellow Jackets, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'd heard one of the cast members talk about it, hint that they'd shot more than they did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
More than has aired.
Right.
And then a fan theory went around that there is another episode.
But
and
where,
it turned out to be true.
Where does it take place, though?
We don't know.
In between
who
the
knows?
Seasons or something?
We've got no idea.
It's weird, because you can't really, without ruining it, if anybody has
seen
Yellow Jackets, I mean, if you've not seen it, get watching it. But if you haven't caught the end of season two, it's a humdinger of an ending. I mean, it leaves your jaw on the floor. But on both sides, like the story in flashback on the island and the story in present day are equally traumatic.
They are,
the
absolutely.
Boat is left them both in a I can't wait to see what happens next.
They also introduced a third timeline right for storytelling as well, though, didn't they? Of the survivors getting home.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened immediately after they got home.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, can't go into details just in case people haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. We're going to get 5 years of it.
That's what they've planned.
I hope so.
They've planned this for 5 years.
Well, it couldn't be any more
fully
popular.
Plotted, these guys say. Obviously, with room to manoeuvre.
It couldn't be any better. Well received than it is right now, and it's built and built and built now. So that's got record viewing figures. Although I heard that there's some people weren't that happy with that ending. I thought it was magnificent.
I did.
I don't understand what they were watching.
It's easier to gravitate sometimes to the even as a consumer of social media. It's easier to gravitate towards the negatives. Because they're often quite.
I suppose
we've talked about it before.
It's boring when everyone around you is going, this is the best thing ever.
Brilliant.
I suppose it's tempting to be that one person who goes, I'm not sure, maybe it could be better.
Yeah,
you know?
It makes you look a bit cooler.
A bit discerning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can I have another book?
Yeah, another one of these, please.
Thank you. See, she really doesn't give two fucks, it's great. and I was right. That's the height you want.
Don't point.
Sorry, at some point.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, your back was turned to us.
I mean, the listeners can't see your point. And me, I'm sat right here with you, so I know who you're talking about.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. We've got to have a short waitress when we're doing this. It's perfect. It works brilliantly. She cannot see
that. So we've got to request one next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Where's Kristen? She's perfect if she stays.
Where's Kristen? Can Kristen serve us?
Yeah. Just be perfect if they get a fucking tall supermodel in next time. We won't. That was our trouble the other time. She saw straight through it.
So where's Dan and Mo then? They were originally meant to be
on this show.
Yeah.
Dan and Mo are... Dan has written for us and Mo is writing for us, and it's kind of a starburst break, and they've gone to the Omega Mart because we literally ran out of time. And I'm not joking. We did something every single day. We did. It was a crazy day. But still, there's two more days and we've kind of run out of time, so they
we've got two more days. You're here for another week, aren't you?
Yeah, I suspect it will be a sedate few days after that.
Right.
I'm doing it all now and then I'm just going to chill. I don't want to really do anything.
You've got no plans.
I've done everything I wanted to do now already, and maybe I'll just go to some casinos and have a couple of meals and that's it. I just want a break. And I mean, I've got to get home. I've got my son living with me now. He's back from Albania.
What's his name?
Joseph.
What's his nickname?
Well, he's
Double Joe 7.
Double Joe 7, yeah. Or Jihadi Joe when he goes on his tours of the Middle East and then fucking rings me.
Just a little bit of context required.
He works for MI6.
There we go.
And I'm allowed to say that, that's alright. I'm not allowed to say what he does, but he does. He worked very hard to get there, and as much as I'm proud of him, there's times where I think possibly the world is not as in a safe hands as I would hope it to be.
We've got our Rhyolite TV show cooking.
Yeah.
And can I pitch another one right now?
Oh, go on, yeah.
My son, Double Joe 7.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's about MI6 agent son.
Yeah.
Who's still useless living with his parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it writes itself.
Well, he's homeless now. He's homeless.
He writes himself, doesn't he?
He got himself kicked out, moved back to mine. He's supposed to be based in London.
Hang on, he doesn't listen to this, does he?
No, I don't.
All right, nobody tell him.
I'm not, no. But he doesn't...
He's a good guy.
He's a lovely lad, but he's homeless, and that's the...
Oh, smashing, thank you so much. Cheers.
Oh, thank you. So he's...
Thank you.
He's with... He's just sort of... he's supposed to be in London. They don't know he's in Manchester. So he's doing a great job of convincing them that he's just around the corner somewhere.
God, they still think he's...
Oh, yeah, they think he's in London. They think he's around the corner from Vauxhall Towers, where he's around the corner from the ministry, they think.
So what if there's a Bond-style national emergency and all agents are called in?
Well, he'll be on the train, won't he,
for 2 hours. He needs to nip on the train?
Yeah, be on the train for 2 hours.
Good luck getting a train from Manchester to London. Yeah. Few and far between these days.
I know that. The amount of money he's on, it's really quite weird.
Good Lord.
Never mind.
Yeah. It's some actual TV. Those are two fake TV shows there we were talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know.
Good material, though.
Good material, and you never know. We could be pitching it one day. An actual TV show that they announced the other day that I wanted to tell you about and just get your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Bewitched is coming back again.
Oh, no.
I thought you'd be happy about this.
No, because did you see what they did with that movie of it?
Yeah, that was really bad. They went the meta angle with it, didn't they?
Yeah, and it wasn't one funny moment.
No, it sucked. And I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. You know, he's great.
That's why
Nicole Kidman's great.
Yeah.
But this time they're doing it.
Nicole Kidman was great when you think about who... Because she's got that little nose that what's-her-face had, Elizabeth Montgomery.
It's probably quite different now.
Oh, yeah, it's fucking very different now, isn't it? Yeah, different face, in fact.
I shouldn't have brought that up.
Well...
I feel bad.
What it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, this isn't... They're doing an animated Bewitched series.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because there's a lot of supernatural stuff they couldn't really do justice to special effects in the show. was all off. You had witches' councils, other dimensions, you had all that. But you didn't see much of it because they couldn't do it because there's no money. It's a sitcom.
It'd be a little bit more.
1969 sitcom. Can't afford it.
I'd have probably preferred a live action reboot of it. Have another.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was so wildly off and but ignored the IP, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they don't make sitcoms like that anymore. Like the WandaVision sitcoms. They don't make them anymore. They're out of date. So to capture that, you'd have to be making a sitcom that's so broadly out of step with what's being made at the moment.
In the style of the mock doc, in the style of The Office.
Yeah.
Which, there's a little bit of Office news as well.
Could work, though, that.
They're doing another remake of The Office in Australia.
Right.
What
and who's going to be in that, then?
Oh, I don't think we know any of this cast. Just like...
And is it being made by the same creative team?
Well, no.
Because if not, they've just sold the rights.
Yes, they have. And apparently there's more versions of it. I had no idea. I thought there was the British Office and the American Office. But apparently it's been sold around the world. And this is just this Australian one that they're about to do. It's just the latest in a long line.
Yeah.
This has really gone over under my radar anyway.
No,
I've no desire to watch it.
No.
The British one is fantastic. The American one was fantastic.
Yeah.
They both serve different purposes, don't they?
Yeah.
I love them both, but yeah, I think I'll skip the Australian one, to be honest.
I'll always like the American one because it understood one or two bits and bobs. The Ricky Gervais approach was great at the time.
It was.
And they realised they couldn't have a character that wasn't redeemable in some way, and their main character, Michael Scott, where after the first few episodes they clearly thought, well, this guy wouldn't be able to keep his job, and we want this to run for many, many seasons, because he got the sack pretty early on. It was only 2 years long, Ricky Gervais's office, and he was hung in there for not that long, and then he got the sack, didn't he? And they didn't want him to get the sack, so they had to make him more plausible. And that what I liked about that was, even though you had all this stupid carry on and the childish behaviour and all the the stuff where he was insensitive to so many things,
he
was a shit hot salesman.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
and
I agree.
And then
I love
you go,
that.
Yeah,
I love that
and
twist.
Then suddenly that makes sense because everyone's putting up with all this crazy crap. Because he's fucking amazing at that.
Was it the Chili's episode?
Yeah.
That was the turning point with Tim Meadows.
Yeah. When you realised, oh Christ, because it was an unwinnable order and account, and he just landed it.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh, that's what he does. And that's what made sense. So then that was the missing link that the other one, the English office, didn't have. Because he didn't have a redeeming. Useless at life, useless at relationship, useless as a leader, useless at his job.
I agree.
Yeah, whereas he's not.
Is it sad that I requested that we go to Chili's just because I'd seen it in The Office?
No. I didn't know it was a real thing until a few years after. I think we were here and you went, oh, I'd love to go to Chili's. I didn't know it was a real thing. And then we saw it.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was nice food.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
It's cheap food, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a cheap diner.
Well, you don't get many places like that.
Well, it had a nice variety of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like TGI Fridays back home, but good.
Yeah. It was the only meal that we've ever paid for that cost exactly the same as it would in pounds.
Oh, because?
She took us fucking lizard Liz, went and lettuce Liz, fucking tanked the pound that week. And it was 48 hours, it was almost parity with the dollar. Where we're used to maybe spending $150 on a meal and it'll cost about 110 quid. Yeah.
For a group of us.
For a group of us, yeah. Everything was pound to pound. If it cost $100, it was 100 quid. And it was fucking brutal. And we were here at the worst possible time in the world, and then as soon as we went home, it all went back to normal. So that's why I remember Chili's, because we got a bill and it was whatever it was, and the conversion comes on the thing because you paid by card, and it was literally pound for dollar.
Disastrous.
There you go.
Yeah, well, Chili's was great.
Chili's was great.
If anyone else, if anyone listening makes it out to the States, definitely recommend that. We've not hit a Dave and Buster's yet, have we?
No.
I really want to do that, but I don't think Charlie's that keen on the idea.
Me and you would have a blast
in a Dave and Buster's.
I'd go. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. You wanted to do the Chuck E. Cheese, and they've got a rule. And it's an unfortunate rule, and I'm not sure I agree with it, although I understand it. It's the same sort of thing with regards to the fountain in Piccadilly Square in Manchester, where it's there for children and the families, and they're there in the little bathing costumes, dancing around on a really hot sunny day, which it is at the moment, by the way. Back in England, it's absolutely scorching.
I wonder if their weather is better than here.
It's probably similar.
It's been a little odd over here, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's still all right.
Oh, yeah.
And even yesterday, I think that was a nice break from it being too hot. Because when we're out on the lake and the boat, we all got fucking really badly sunburned and looked like beetroots. And unfortunately, because I was on one side piloting the boat, I just had my right hand and my right side of my face all burnt, and the left side completely white and pale.
Oh,
I looked
God.
Like fucking Two-Face.
Don't
I looked like Two-Face
from
Batman Forever.
Lobster Johnson over here.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Bad. Well, you know. It's good, isn't it?
It's worth it. It's fine.
It's interesting,
fine.
Isn't it? But yeah, the Chuck E. Cheese, it like that fountain that attracts, sadly, men who like to get the smartphones out and watch said children.
Let's have one episode
around.
Where we don't talk about
I didn't say
pedos.
The word. Ah, you said that.
Right,
I didn't
okay.
say that. I was saying they were getting
okay.
enjoyment out of that.
Right.
Chuck E. Cheese want to make sure that the children are playing there and they aren't middle-aged men just there on their own having a meal, because they don't think we're there for the meal. They think we're there for other reasons, which is sad.
Sorry,
I think it'd be good. What's
Dan, this is live from Omega Mart.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What's happened?
Dan and Mo are in Omega Mart currently, and he's looking at caps for me. I said,
yeah.
Can you pick us up a nice baseball
cap? Well,
he's
in the gift shop already.
It's just got in. No, it's not the gift shop, is
oh,
it?
Right.
It's all part of it.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
one free-flowing
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Explain Omega Mart to
Omega
people,
Mart.
Very briefly.
I have to be careful.
Yeah,
though.
You do.
This is
one of Vegas' top attractions.
It's something, it's called Area 15, which is an inverted Area 51. So you know that it's going to be aimed at weird and supernatural stuff. So you go in, and the Omega Mart is what it sounds like. It is a shopping mart. You go in, and it looks like Walmart, Asda, Tesco. It looks like that. And then you notice that the products are all having a slight dig at consumerism and having a real dig at life and society and capitalism. And it's very funny. The humour's very funny. And you'll find robot milk here.
Robot
and it's
milk.
It's little dots of silicon in a jar, a milk jar.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of humour. And it's loads of that humour. And then you realise that it might be more to it than that.
More
if you have a look in a fridge.
Yes.
Or a,
they will leave it there.
A few doors and leave it at that. However, I will say this. They're having a go there at capitalism. They're having a go at consumerism and the fight. So you think, oh, that's a good socialist sort of humour and all that. Which would wash with me if the fucking stuff wasn't actually for sale.
Oh, all of it is for sale.
Extremely exorbitant amount of money. Like the robot milk that I've just described is for like $25, right? And so they're having a knock at capitalism. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And making it all out. Like, and it's very funny. They're doing it as well. They're literally doing it themselves.
Would you prefer the stuff not to be on sale, though?
Yeah.
You would?
The stuff not to be on sale, but some stuff just in a gift shop separate. I think they're undermining their own integrity. by selling stuff that's part of a joke that's attacking capitalism for a huge amount of money?
I don't know.
You can't be having a go at capitalism. Like, that's like me going, I hate people spending loads of money. I hate all this. I want a simple life, and then I go and buy a 200 quid comic or something. I'm open-minded. I'm a champagne socialist. I live by it, and I run a business in a very socialist way, but I need the odd treat, otherwise I'll get suicidal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like being here now, this allows us to do the rest of the year. Yeah, but I do think they are battering on about anti-consumerism, and then it's probably the most expensive gift shop in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, yeah. But it isn't all about that, is it?
Of course, like, it's not.
There's no pressure to actually buy any of
this
stuff.
You can go there and have a good time.
Yeah.
It's a massive art exhibition, really.
Think of it as an Asda, but the Asda is an art installation.
Yes.
With a genre twist.
Yes.
So you walk into an Asda, and this Asda is the attraction.
Yes.
And they go, off you pop. I mean, what amazed me was when we got the tickets, we were kind of in the dark of what it was.
Oh, I had no idea.
And
I don't know if you did know. I had no idea that you could go deeper.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can just do whatever. This Asda that you're in, you can go anywhere you want.
Oh, yeah. Even the staff areas.
I forgot to give them my exclusive staff member card.
Oh,
damn
shit.
It's in my wallet. Me and you got one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Every like 20 tickets.
Oh, please, he'll have bought that.
No, you can't buy it.
You can't.
Every 20 tickets are at random.
Right.
They go, here we go, here's a staff card that will unlock other areas.
Oh,
staff
damn it,
areas.
I didn't know that. I thought you could buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, bugger. I would have brought it with me. That's at home. It's
I brought
Manchester.
It with me, but I forgot to give it again.
It's in bloody Manchester, Mike.
Crap. Oh, well. Oh, man. Oh, well.
We'll have a quick break now, and
okay.
We'll be back right after this.
Starburst magazine, the world's longest running magazine of sci-fi, horror and fantasy. We have been going longer than Total Film. Just saying.
American woman, stay away from me. Let me be. Don't come hanging round my door. I don't wanna see your face no more. I got more important things to do than spend my time going on with you. Now, woman, stay away. American woman, listen what I say. Don't come hanging round my door.
your war machines. I don't need your ghetto scenes. Gonna last get hypnotized. Sparkles on one of his eyes. Now, woman, get away. American woman, listen what I say. We'll be right back.
Starburst Radio, your source for all of the latest celebrity paedophile convictions.
FabRadioInternational.com.
And welcome back to Starburst Radio. How's it going? How's things? You're looking at social media. What's going on in the world? We're sort of cut off from things here.
I'm looking at Twitter just to see if anything has happened.
What's happened? Anything?
Since when? Since what? I went to the toilet.
Yeah. Today? Whatever. I've been totally out of the loop with stuff. Although I caught the sad news that the sequel to Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes have been cancelled. They're not going ahead with it.
No, that is sad news.
The creator, Pharaoh, goes on social media, says, "It's money. It's not lack of creativity. We had a cracking idea. It would have been a fantastic show. Everybody was on board with it. For financial reasons, we couldn't go ahead." Said, "I don't want to go into more here. You'll find out in due course." Right. So it sounds like a bit of an... That sounds like a fallout to me. That sounds like someone had promised to fund it and they backed out.
This was BBC, though, wasn't it?
Well, I heard it was, but they work with everybody now. Yeah. The BBC, whenever you see a BBC, it's always in association with or whatever. The BBC don't tend to do stuff on their own anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be that the BBC were going to fund it, but the other party that was going to do it, or maybe it is the BBC. We'll find out. Well, he's very pissed off.
And he's using social media to raise awareness there. Maybe another distributor will come along and rescue it.
Well, it happened with David Lynch. With Twin Peaks to Return.
Yep. Sorry, it's all off.
He went to social media and that caused such a backlash that they managed to get funding for it.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And in the case of other shows being cancelled, look how many times another rival network or streamer jumps in and saves it. Manifest is just about to end its complete series run.
Yeah.
Only thanks to Netflix.
Yeah,
it was cancelled before the end, and that's one of those series that the ending, like Westworld, was integral to anyone's enjoyment of seasons 1, 2, 3 and 4.
So you've said Westworld now is not a waste of time, but it's incomplete.
I'm sorry, it's incomplete. Would you read a book that has the last two chapters ripped out of it? Would you start that book?
No, I wouldn't.
There we go.
I wouldn't. No. Even if it was the most amazing book, it'd be unsatisfying. The end, you'd feel let down.
To have an ending.
Yeah, I know. And you can't imagine it.
No.
Yeah, well, you can't.
No. Especially with a show like Westworld, they were building and building and building towards something that you had confidence that you knew where they were going.
Him out of the X-Men was upset about that, really upset.
James Marsden,
he was on social media and he was saying what a fucking hell bummed out he was.
Yeah. You know James Marsden, have you seen, here's a TV recommendation for you, I don't believe I've mentioned this.
Yeah.
Correct me if I have on this show, Jury Duty.
Yeah, so I know of it.
Have we discussed it on the show?
I think
outside of the show. Sometimes it blurs.
Outside the show, you've talked to me about it. Because I like the sound of that a lot.
Oh, you'll love it. So it's that is another mock documentary, but the only person who's not an actor in it.
Yeah.
They've got one guy who thinks he's on a documentary.
Yeah.
A documentary about the jury system in the States. And he doesn't realise that the whole thing is a comedy show.
Yeah.
And everyone around him, every single person is an actor.
Yeah.
They're all meant to be anonymous members of the public going through the jury system.
Right.
But amongst them is actor James Marsden playing himself.
Right.
and really sending himself up as well.
Right.
It's very, very funny.
Oh, right.
Excellent show. What a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd like to find out what this guy thinks of the whole series now it's ended.
Yeah.
Like, he may be traumatised. Imagine if something you'd been doing for the last 2 months all turned out everyone you've ever interacted with was an actor.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Wow.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what's his face, The Audition. There was a bit of that going on in that. That was a show, we mentioned it on here. It ended, I don't know if he's doing any more of that, but my God, that was one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life.
I don't remember this.
Is it The Audition? Is it called The Audition?
The Rehearsal.
The Rehearsal,
oh,
sorry.
Absolutely.
The Rehearsal.
Nathan Fielder's Rehearsal.
Yeah, fucking typical.
One of the best shows ever made, though.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, the end of it, Jesus Christ.
Profound.
I mean, even when he's doing the stuff where he's aging himself and all that, it was... You have to see, anybody's not seen The Rehearsal, not The Audition. That's a show that doesn't exist, that I made up in my own mind. The Rehearsal is unique. There's nothing like it. You may not like it. It may not be for you. But if you do like it, you'll be gripped from beginning to end.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen, that show.
Well, it's an experiment.
The basic premise is Nathan Fielder, who you might know, American... I'd call him a comedian, but that gives, like, instantly you're thinking stand up and this and that. He just does very experimental things, doesn't he? Nathan For You is the biggest show he's done before this. Anyway, he put an advert out on Craigslist, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Asking if anybody wanted to be involved in a new technique of his that he'd developed that helps people train for a specific moment in their life. Say you're going to propose to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
He's developed a system where he will help you rehearse for this by hiring actors, building sets, going through these all minute details.
Identical sets as well.
Yeah,
some of these scenes
and
where
part of the
it
comedy
shows you
is
the real place
the extremes
set.
Of it, isn't
the,
it?
The extreme. The set is just, it will be, say, the one that bar they did. They built a replica of that bar down to the minutiae.
I can't imagine how much of that HBO budget he blew on just that bar.
But it's that stuff that made
it's
it.
It's worth it, though.
Really, yeah.
Anyway, and it, you know what? It's not a formulaic show either. It's kind of set up as one.
Yeah.
And then it twists, man.
Yeah, it's all over the show.
Wow, wow, wow.
I enjoyed that a lot. And, just nice to see something different. Genuinely different.
Here's something familiar.
Yeah.
Familiar to you anyway.
Yes.
Bonnie Langford is back.
Oh, yeah.
In Doctor Who, they just announced yesterday.
Yeah. But back as a just
is
a
that
cameo.
Exciting news for
Not
you?
Not really, no. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I've met her. And she's a nice lady.
That's good news.
She's a nice lady. She was at Fab and she treated the staff well. Everybody was lovely. It was a lovely day. She's really nice. And as a person, she's nice. But the character she played on that show, I believe, as usual, Big Finish have expanded upon that character in the audio spin-offs, whatever. But what you actually saw of her in the show, she was a very old-school Doctor Who companion. And by that, I mean, you've had a lot of groundbreaking, sort of strong... female companions in the show like Rose, like
Karen Gillan.
Ace and that. Karen Gillan she screamed a bit more than Rose did, but she was still a hybrid and she was still capable of being sassy. And that's the thing. They're not waiting to be rescued, screaming, Doctor, help me, save me.
Oh, it's a new era now,
And you can't really get away with that anymore. It's like the same thing where...
No, I know, but why on earth would you think that Bonnie Langford is going to come back to scream some more?
because that's a it's shtick.
But it's 30 shtick. Years, Dick. We all do. It's 30 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
About 30?
Yeah, but she's... I mean, if she's... If you meet somebody in the 20s who's screaming and scared to death of fucking stuff left, right and centre and a very nervous person, you tend to meet them in the 50s or 60s and they're the fucking same.
Oh, I'd hope not.
Oh, no, they're still fucking...
Oh, right.
You're talking about basic fears here. She was... she was very much a two-dimensional character.
Right, well, let's hope then Russell T Davies... wasn't writing it 30
well, he knows,
years ago.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Everybody he's brought back to that show, he did it in the right way. He brought Liz Sladen back as Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
And that episode is beloved. It was the one where she came back, you had K-9 back, and it led to the Sarah Jane Adventures. And that was heralded by people as it's one of the best TV shows for children ever made. And her character had grown and all that, but she wasn't a screamer really. To scream here and there, but she'd be more likely to get a jug off a table and smash the bad guy over the head with it, you know. She'd get stuck in.
I believe the Sarah Jane Adventures came, now off the top of my head, I've not got the issue with me,
yeah.
I believe it came 97th in our top 100.
It's good it got in, because it is only a children's show with
yeah,
a small
absolutely,
budget,
yeah.
really.
But we don't discriminate, do we?
No. There's people who love that show. You know, it's stiff competition. It's 100 shows in Starburst of all time. And it's stiff competition. It's tough to get in that 100. I mean, there's some shows that I loved
really
that didn't
was.
Get in. And there's some shows that I thought were not as strong as some others who got a bit higher. And it's a different generation as well. Some people are the younger people.
Well, we've got a great mix of people writing for us. So that's the thing, isn't it?
And the invaders got in it.
It did indeed. Yeah.
There you go.
You know, and at the end of the day, this is.
Got another one? Get another.
I'll take a bottle of course,
yeah.
please.
Bottle?
Yeah, please.
And a screwdriver.
Yes. What kind of bike would you like?
Kettle one again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I've lost my train of thought now. Where were?
Was it? Were you looking? Were you looking at her? Is that it?
Oh, she's very good looking. Yeah.
Well, it's when she's
maybe
over, wasn't it?
Oh, don't say that.
I'm only human.
Appreciating that she was a very beautiful
I can't.
Lady.
I wasn't looking at her cleavage. I was worried she'd see the bloody microphone.
Right. So, yes, it is difficult to get in there. The invaders did get in there. Yeah, see, this is my brain catching up like a computer. So, there's a great mix of TV shows from all eras.
So.
And do you think I'm happy with the every single one of the 100? No. This is the opinion.
It's solid, though.
This I am.
Hey, the first
no, it
top
is,
10,
yeah.
to me, is quite, yeah. quite solid. I mean, I look at it and I'm not... There isn't a show in that top 10. When it gets lower down, maybe. If feel like it at some point. I might feel like when once we've sold all the copies we're going to sell of it, yeah, I might start to say some little bits where I go, I'm not happy with that being there. But at the moment...
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank
at
you.
At the moment, when we're trying to sell it, and it's perfect. It's perfect.
No, it's all right. Okay. It is
but
perfect.
I have my favourite shows that I wish I'd got.
This is what I'm getting at when I said, do you think I'm happy with the order of the 100? Yeah, yes, I am. Does it align with my 100?
Yeah.
Personal 100? No. Does it align with yours? No. It aligns with what Starburst magazine as a collective. It couldn't be more accurate.
Yeah.
That's Starburst speaking.
Yeah.
Not any one individual, and as I pointed out in the editorial as well, not the editorial team either.
Oh, no.
This is a democracy. This is the truest reflection of what Starburst magazine, if Starburst magazine was sentient.
Correct.
This is what it'd tell you.
It certainly would.
It's favourite 100 TV shows. So we got some great stuff in there.
Absolutely.
Cats out of the bag now.
Oh, yeah.
Spaced Game 15.
Yeah,
and we got Edgar Wright
to
come in and have a chat about its about the show, its legacy, and what he thinks should be number one.
Oh, yeah.
In there, so go read that.
And then
that's
he,
great.
And then he said, "Chris, send me some." And you went, "Okay."
Yeah, yeah.
Send him some.
Send him some magazines.
That's good,
the other day, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to see it.
Like, oh yeah, hell yeah. See. Wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah.
Top 50. He's probably upset that it's not in the top 10. You should have cheated. Should have moved it up.
I did.
Should have sent him some altered copies where it's like number two or something.
I did tell him it was up front. It was 15.
No,
I didn't
well,
want
it. Pretty good though. Isn't
I don't.
It? That's it, of all time
is.
ever.
It is.
You
it
know.
Is, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that.
Where is the HD version of that though? You know, I think they've really shafted Space
Jam. I don't
fans,
understand
you know?
A lot of this. There are loads of shows that are out in Blu-ray, and you look at them and go, how many people are really into this show?
Yeah.
And then you'll see huge shows that are not on Blu-ray. They've not done a remaster. They've not. I just don't understand some of
it. It's mystifying, because I remember that anniversary space box set that they did,
yeah.
which was excellent, by
yeah.
the way. But, my God, that's getting on now.
But there's software available that will do the remaster for you. And it's almost automated, and it is bloody perfect.
Yeah, if you're an expert at doing that,
you
yeah,
don't
and,
have
and not
to be an expert.
Well, tell
it's
that to the people.
Automated.
Play that. Tell that to the people.
It's
what
time
saying,
though, because you've got to spend 3 or 4 hours rendering on a PC just to watch a 30-minute episode of something. And most people would think, nah.
I'm giving you a compliment.
Okay. Oh right, yeah, okay, yeah, I get you. Right,
so
I took it. I understand that.
You were making this. You
yes.
were saying there's software out there.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That automates it. Now I do know that you did Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
Your own mastering of that.
Oh yeah.
And it looks fantastic.
It's fucking amazing.
But when you say, "Oh, it's easy," there's software out there. Nonsense. You have
yeah,
to be
yeah.
an expert in using the software.
I suppose. Yeah.
Because my example was going to be. You only have to look at the Buffy, the existing HD master,
oh, yeah, yeah.
and I say master with
yeah.
the finger quotes around
yeah.
it, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and it is apocalyptically bad.
Oh,
it's
no,
so
it
bad people have made documentaries about it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can, you, bad Buffy HD master, just
well,
put that in and you'll find
the camera
it.
Crew. On screen,
it's not just
it
it's
well.
Not it's not just going back to the original negative and refusing to put it back in its original ratio. It's not even just that.
No, no.
It's this software that's automated
yeah.
to polish it all up.
Yeah,
and they've got it on. This is what I'm saying. It
yeah,
needs
yeah,
expertise.
Yeah. Yeah, it does need a few
to oversee
yeah.
it
yeah.
Because this, you've got the skin textures. Someone has just pressed a button.
I know, yeah.
And it is ghastly.
Yeah.
It looks worse now than it did in standard definition
yeah.
back in the early 2000s.
The special effects don't, because they're put up a notch. That software's very good at getting human movements, interpolating a little bit more detail. But when you start getting something like a demon or a vampire or someone that's been disintegrated,
yeah.
It's not very good at that.
You look at all the actors'
yeah.
skin tones as well in this HD master, and you'll weep.
Yeah.
So now, right now, the existing Buffy the Vampire Slayer is pretty much unwatchable out
yeah.
there, because
yeah.
you won't, unless you've got those great DVD sets.
Which
we of old.
A lot of us have got them, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
yeah. They're not as, they're getting a bit rarer though, aren't they? Though?
They are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't know if they're worth money yet, but they're certainly there's not as many of them online.
I've not checked in a while, but I would suspect getting Buffy DVDs
yeah.
on eBay, you'll need to get your wallet out and be prepared.
Right.
Even though it's a largely dead format, there is.
Yeah.
We all know that there's titles that
yeah.
we have to cling on to if we want them in our catalogue.
Collectors now. It's collectors like well.
Oh,
with
tell them about your purchases the other day, talking about dead formats.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
What, the, yeah, well, we went to this, an amazing place in Vegas, and it's an antique mall, and it is a shop, and there's probably about 20-odd antique vendors in there, but they just leave all their stuff on in the shop, and you just buy whatever you buy and go to the front desk, and they're basically an agent selling all this stuff. And I was buying stuff. I bought some slab comics and a few other bits and bobs. But then I saw the Pink Panther, and I thought it was a Laserdisc, but I know what the Laserdisc looks like at that. And it was different artwork that I'd never seen before. And then I saw it was plastic. And I thought, what is this? And then I realised it was one of these video discs from years and years and years ago. And...
'80s.
1981.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, sod it, I'm going to buy it. And I bought it. And now...
How much was it?
$5. They didn't know what it was.
Oh,
they didn't know what it was, so they didn't know what to sell
this
it.
It's one of your favourite movies of all time.
Of course it is, yeah. But the thing is, it's this format is like a mini disc.
Yeah.
It's like a huge mini disc.
Huge.
In that you've got the disc inside the plastic cartridge, and the cartridge goes in the player, and then I think then it loads up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So this player must be huge.
I'll be honest,
must be big.
I'm familiar with the format, but I'm not familiar with what the player actually looks
that
like.
No, that player has to be long, really deep, because
yeah.
it's got to fit the cartridge and the finger,
yeah.
you know. So I don't have a clue how it plays.
Once I leave in the next couple of days, you'll have to start scouring the vintage stores and see if you can actually find a player for
it. Buy it.
Oh, wait a minute. No, then you have to get it home.
No, I can't get it home.
Oh, man.
The cases are getting very full at the moment.
Okay.
I've got...
You've been hitting comics pretty hard.
Well, I bought a very big collection before in the UK, before we set out. And then when I've come here, I've wanted to know more about slabbing and buy a couple of bits and bobs. So we went to Torpedo Comics.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is store. This store. There's nothing quite like this in the UK. They've got a vault of vintage slab comics, and you've got Fantastic Four number one, 50 grand.
Yeah, so you can actually just walk in there and have a little tour of it, can't you?
Like an art gallery almost.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And I bought a signed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic. And
was it Eastman or Layard?
Eastman.
Right.
Eastman, and I've got a Batman Year One signed by Frank Miller.
Oh,
slap.
Awesome.
It's been a great shop, that. But I do like that comic book shop.
Yeah.
People in these shops over here are very friendly as well.
Yeah.
Like talking to you.
Would you say friendlier than the people in the UK that work behind comic book stuff? Large. I mean, that's a generalisation, but we have been going into UK comic stores since we were children.
Yeah, some
and
of them are all right, and some are grumpy.
I've found experienced quite a lot of hostility.
Yeah,
in my experience.
Well, they think they know better than you.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you go in and you're buying that.
I think it's eased up though lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Since fucking lockdown, they're probably glad that their comic book store still exists. And while they certainly should be, you'd hope they would be.
Yeah. I noticed there was a King Conan amongst your purchases the
other
day.
King Conan number two, yeah.
Arnie's been in the news a lot lately, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's now Netflix's official action consultant.
I don't understand what even that means.
I don't either.
I mean, what's that? Because they're making a lot of films that, and you said the other day, Netflix movies, they're making, a lot of people are watching them. People are spending a fortune on them, but they're making no pop culture impression whatsoever.
Correct.
People don't remember these films.
This was Tarantino talking very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about his recent quote.
Yeah.
He's like, for example, you know, Ryan Reynolds has made 3 movies for Netflix so far, and he was paid $50 million for each one, and I couldn't tell you the title of a single one. And I'm like, okay, right, let's put that to the test.
He's
100%
right.
And then it came to me, all right, Red. There was Red with him, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Action movie.
Yeah.
Action comedy.
Heist. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen
the trailer and watched it? Seen the trailer.
Yeah,
I
have
watched
it.
Music.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Now that if I would wager if that had had a cinema release, we'd have both been sat here either saying, yeah, it was a lot of fun, that, or it's a big pile of shit.
We'd have gone to see it.
But we would have seen it.
We'd have gone to see it, yeah. Yeah.
Who's watching these things?
Yep.
He's absolutely bang on the money when they're saying there's no pop culture impact with these things.
Well, we watched Operation Fortune almost as a bet. with you.
We did.
We just thought we'd give it a go for a laugh.
Do you think that's the opposite way around then? Do you think if that had come out on the cinema only, we wouldn't have seen Operation Fortune? Maybe this goes both ways.
I don't think that people are like us though. I think
we try and see as much as we can at the cinema. We've got a lot of catching up to do.
We haven't been
this week. Let's not mention the movies that we've not seen yet.
Oh God, we haven't. No. We haven't been to pictures.
Some biggies out there doing silly numbers.
Yeah, Fast and the Furious, Fast X. We've not seen that yet.
No, but we know the end. We know the post-credit sequence.
I've got that ruined,
We know the fact that they're actually doing now another spin-off starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Whoopee!
Yeah.
And we've also got a... this is not Fast X Part 1 and 2 now.
Nope.
It's Fast X Part 1, 2 and 3.
It's a trilogy. The Fast X trilogy.
I can't believe this. It just gets more insane, this franchise.
It's so awesome.
But sloppily so. I don't think there's any thought going into it.
No. It's terrible.
I've heard.
A trilogy of that. I mean, I got the Harry Potter thing because that book was massive and they turned it into two movies.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the story exists. Do we think the story exists for Fast X Part 2?
No.
No. And I would bet every penny in my goddamn pocket that script does not exist.
Of course it doesn't exist. No. They've got one, a partial one.
They're making it up as they go along.
But what about this? He gets Jason Momoa to be the bad guy and now he's upset now because people are commenting that he stole the movie.
Yeah, because people are really... Jason Momoa, it sounds like... I mean, we haven't seen it yet, shamefully, but we will do, we will, by the next episode.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like Jason Momoa knows exactly what this franchise is, has turned up and had a blast and given a performance that audiences are really enjoying.
Yeah.
And Vin Diesel's is pissed because he still thinks this is a fucking drama.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah.
It does. He thinks it's really serious. Remember the tough love that he gave to The Rock, Fellini-esque.
Yeah,
Fellini-esque. How could he fucking say that? Do you honestly believe that he has actually seen a Fellini movie? Do you think he's actually seen La Dolce Vita?
I thought you were going to say, do you actually believe he's seen a film?
Oh, I believe he's seen films, yeah. I can probably give you a list of the films he's seen based on how he is, but he doesn't know anything about Fellini. He's not seen one of them. He'd be bored to tears watching.
Who would you rather go to dinner with, Vin Diesel or Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
The Rock, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of a dick as well, lately.
Even though I've been bashing him a bit lately, yes, true.
But I mean, the thing that did my head in was his ego with regards to DC and Black Adam. The rest of it, I didn't mind him at all. But when he started going, like, I own this DC, he just wanted to play that character so bad from being a child. He wasn't bothered about the best interests of that franchise, the people who watch him. He just wanted that. And then he wanted his buddy Henry Cavill in there, and he's just been made a fool of. Yeah, what happened, made a real mock.
He really has. Yeah. He really has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, right. Should we be wrapping up now?
We'll wrap up. We just thought it'd be nice to get back in touch with you guys.
Just checking in.
You know. We'll be alright. It's not been too bad. We've had a really good time and we'll be back with you very soon. It's only a matter of weeks now and it'll be back on air. We just had this little break so we could come over here and see what's going on and not catch any films, which is odd. We usually do that.
You could have just said it's the mid-season break.
It's a mid-season break. That's another way of putting it. That is definitely another way of putting it anyway. She's looking over, you know. He's looking over them like, oh, I wonder what they are up to, maybe.
It
just does look like we're talking to each other, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I know. So that's it. I mean, the only difficult bit will be just passing that back in your backpack without us seeing it.
Oh, well, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Should we do it live now?
Yeah,
Stuff it in the backpack.
I reckon
as an ending.
I reckon we'll do that right now.
Right. Okay, back's coming over.
Yeah. Right.
There we go.
Just
pop it in there.
Yep. I've been Mike. He's been Chris. And we will see you in a few weeks.
Tumbling through a thousand centuries. You don't know where you land. It's so dark in mythology. Treasures of history to be found. Hear the legends of time. All the handiworks remain. Only a dream away.
To Starburst Radio, the greatest radio show in the universe. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Exclusive to Fab Radio International. Starburst Radio is sponsored by Fab Cafe, TV and movie theme bar, 109 Portland Street, Manchester.